is Abby Fayor. I am 12 years old, and today is November 25th. I'm speaking with Doug Fayor, who is my father. When were you first drafted, or when did you enlist?
I enlisted in 1987 as a senior in high school. That's when I signed up for the Marine Corps. However, I did not leave and go to boot camp until March 15th, 1989.
What do you remember about the day you were enlisted?
I remember being a little bit scared and nervous, not knowing what I was getting myself into, and excited about what the future was going to bring.
How did you tell your family and your friends that you were joining the military? Are there any conversations that stand out from that time?
Well, I told my friend, my best friend first, and we had a long conversation because he was considering joining too, and ultimately he did join the Marine Corps. The most important phone call that I had to make was to my mama. And I was nervous about that because my mom had always told me when I was growing up, what you can join any service that you want to join, but whatever you do, don't join the Marine Corps, please. So here I joined the Marine Corps, what she told me not to do.
Why'd she tell you not to do that?
Well, it's because experiences that she had with people who had joined the Marine Corps weren't always pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
They had either died or it changed them in a manner that wasn't pleasant. So, and plus the Marine Corps had a reputation of being tough and rough, and she didn't want me to be in that atmosphere. So, so calling her and telling her I had joined the Marine Corps was interesting. She didn't believe me at first. She thought I was kidding with her. I finally convinced her that I had, and she was a bit taken back. Not exactly thrilled at the moment.
What did Pop think?
Pop didn't have much to say. Pop was kind of a hands-off parent,
mm-hmm,
in some regards. And he felt that sometimes it was best for you to make your own decisions and mistakes that you learn from them. And he didn't always want to contribute a lot of advice. I think he felt that sometimes figuring out things on your own was better.
Yes. If you enlisted, what were some of the reasons you joined the military? How did you choose your branch of service?
Well, as a senior in high school, I wasn't 100% certain what I wanted to do. I kind of felt if I went to college that I would not focus and that it would be a waste of time and money. So I needed to find something to do to get moving on in life and be able to take care of myself. So the Marine Corps or the military was a good fit. It gave me time. I figured it would give me time to figure out what I wanted to do with my life and provide me something to go on my resume to help me get to wherever it was I was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I joined the Marine Corps because the Marine Corps obviously has the reputation of being the toughest branch of service. And I wanted to, if I was going to do it, I wanted to, you know, make it worth doing. And I wanted to feel the pride of being a Marine. Being a Marine is something that's very special. They just don't hand it out. Not everybody can do it. And I wanted to know what it felt like to be a Marine. I wanted to know what it felt like to put yourself through some of the toughest things that you could put yourself through and accomplish it. And that's why I chose the Marine Corps.
What was basic training like?
It was interesting because unlike most people that go through basic training, 60 Minutes, which is a TV show on CBS, happened to be there filming a special on Marine Corps Drill Instructor School. And they used our platoon for a lot of the filming that they needed to do as, you know, fluff or whatever you call it. But so when I got to Parris Island on the bus and got out on the footprints, shortly thereafter, cameras were rolling everywhere we went for a few weeks. In fact, when my head was shaved for the very first time, 60 Minutes was there to film it. But boot camp was tough. I remember waking up one morning, and a lot of times we go to sleep, and if you've ever gone to sleep and had really pleasant dreams, and you wake up and you're very comfortable with where you're at and you feel good, I remember having that dream of everything was great and wonderful. I was with my friends, I was at home, and I woke up and realized I was at boot camp, and I went from being extremely happy to disappointed so quick, and it was such a drastic change. I'll never forget that moment. So boot camp wasn't always pleasant. In fact, I don't remember it being pleasant very much at all. It was tough. However, I don't regret doing it, and it taught me a lot of things about myself that I never would have known had I not gone.
Okay. Can you describe a funny moment from boot camp?
There's so many of them. So many funny moments. Well, let's see. Some of them I can't even tell you. They might be considered a little bit inappropriate, but funny nonetheless. Can we pause here?
Can you describe a funny moment from boot camp?
Yes. There was lots of characters at boot camp. There's so many funny stories, but one guy that I remember pretty fondly was a guy from South Carolina. His last name was McGee. And McGee had never been out of the state of South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up in a small town and was in that small town his whole entire life. He had not seen much of the world, and he seemed to be not real knowledgeable about a lot of things. But he had a great attitude and a very neat personality. And McGee was across from me in the squad bay. So whenever we got online for inspections inside the barracks, I could look across and see McGee. Well, every night the drill instructors would come through, or a drill instructor would come through and do an evening inspection before you went to bed. They would look at your hands and your fingernails to make sure they were clean and that you've clipped your nails and washed them. They would make sure that you didn't have any significant injuries on you. They would look in your ears to ensure that they were clean, and look at your face to make sure it was shaved. So when they would come by, they would snap their fingers, and which meant you flipped your hands out, snap them again, you turn your hands over, snap them again, you would turn your head to the left, snap them again and turn your head to the right, or whichever direction they pointed. So one evening the drill instructors were coming around, and you know, one drill instructor was coming around, he was snapping his fingers and he was inspecting, and he came up to me, and out of my peripheral vision I could see McGee. He was standing right by a column, and when the drill instructor snapped his fingers, he pointed one direction and I turned my head the wrong direction. The drill instructor had some choice words for me, which didn't really bother me too much because we were getting really close to graduation. But when McGee saw me turn my head the wrong way, he thought it was hilarious. But the last thing in the world you'd want anyone to see, a drill instructor to see, is you laughing. So McGee leaned back behind the column, but I could still see him. And I just remember seeing nothing but teeth. He had the biggest teeth in the world, and he was laughing as hard as he could laugh without making a sound, which made me want to laugh. And I wanted to laugh so bad, but I had this mean, hardcore Marine drill instructor standing in front of me, yelling at me with spit flying in my face, while McGee leaned back behind that column laughing. And as soon as the drill instructor took one step away and went to the next, I remember feeling a sense of relief and the tiniest little smirk come up on my face, which made McGee laugh even harder. But anyway.
So that was just one.
There's many, many funny stories that I could tell, but not all of them are appropriate. But that's just one that sticks out in mind.
We can talk about this later. Where did you serve during the war?
Well, I was stationed in Rota, Spain from roughly 1990 to 1993. Uh-huh. And during this time, there was a lot that happened. There was a fall of communism. Somalia was going on at that time. The Gulf War was the biggest event that took place. There was also Croatia, but Gulf War was a war that was active while I served. And even though I didn't physically go into Kuwait or Saudi Arabia, everything that we did was in effort, or a great deal of what we did was as part of the war effort. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for me, our platoon, our company was divided into two sections. One section went to Saudi and then ultimately Kuwait. The other section stayed behind, and we were supposed to replace them in 6 months. Well, the war went so good that we didn't have to go, so we lucked out.
Yeah. Okay. Can you describe how you felt coming home from combat?
Well, like I said, I didn't go to combat, but I felt a sense of accomplishment because of our efforts that contributed to the success of Desert Storm. So, you know, I felt a sense of accomplishment and a sense of pride in my nation and my country, and that I was happy to serve.
Was there anything you especially missed about civilian life?
Oh, well, I was in Spain for 3 years. There weren't any McDonald's and fast food restaurants and that kind of thing around. And, you know, it was just typically back then, it was Spanish food. It was a lot of garlic chicken and that kind of stuff. So every once in a while, you want a good old American cheeseburger. And sometimes we would drive to a town called Sevilla, also known as Seville. We would drive to Sevilla, which was about an hour away, just to get a McDonald's cheeseburger or Big Mac. I'd get a Big Mac, but...
So you especially miss food.
Of course.
Is there someone you remember you served with that you remember fondly? Can you tell me about him / her?
Oh, man, there's so many friends that I had in the Marine Corps. Smitty was one of my best friends. His name was Christopher Smith, but everyone called him Smitty. And Smitty was a character, hilarious guy, and he did all kinds of crazy things, and he was well known. He was some sort of he was basically a legend. Mm-hmm. He did so many crazy, hilarious things. You never knew what he might do. I need to tell you about any of those, or
you can tell me about him, like what something he did.
Well, we were in Spain at the time of the Olympics and the World's Fair. Mm-hmm. So, as all true politicians do, they take advantage of situations to enhance their personal life or their leisure life or what have you. So while we were serving in Spain, you had the World's Fair and the Olympics going on. All of a sudden, all these senators and congressmen wanted to come check on the Marines in Spain, only so they could go to the World's Fair and the Olympics and have the government pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
So during one of their visits, they were they came into the area, the office space that we worked. We were Signal, we were an intelligence unit, and we wore headsets all the time.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons I can't explain. But these senators and congressmen, one particular time, it was three senators and a Navy captain, and their backs were to us. And then there was a Marine that we were close with that was facing us, and he was explaining to them what we did on a daily basis. Well, the Navy commander had on his elbows, he had psoriasis. Mm-hmm. So it looked like warts all over his elbows.
Yeah.
And dandruff all at the same time. It was very mm-hmm. flaky and gross. Yeah. His name was Gravel, and Smitty called him Gravel Bo. Because of his elbows. And so anyway, they surprised us. They came in the morning, and our breakfast was sitting beside us. Smitty happened to have grits, and he dipped his elbows down into the grits.
Oh.
And made his hair and a facial expression exactly like Commander Gravel. And he started spinning around in his chairs in a circle, where Staff Sergeant Davis, who was giving the tour, could see him, but the senators and Gravel couldn't because their backs were to him. And I remember my face turning red. My eyes felt like they were about to pop out of my head because I wanted to laugh so hard. I was holding it in the best that I possibly could. And Staff Sergeant D, his face began to turn red. And he said, "Gentlemen, why don't we come over here and let me show you what we do on this side?" And he took them away. And at the time where they got away from me, I began laughing hysterically as quietly as I possibly could at this idiot spinning around in a circle with grits on his elbow. And about 10 minutes later, Staff Sergeant D came back. I was concerned for Smitty because I thought D was probably going to have some choice words for him. But when he came back, he said, "Smitty, whatever you do, don't lose your sense of humor."
What are some fun things you and your friends did while you were deployed?
We did lots together. We lived on the beach. We were in Rota, Spain. Many of us had our own apartments on the ocean. And a lot of times we would meet up and spend time on the beach together. We would take road trips together and go to towns like Tormelinas and Sevilla, mm-hmm. Jerez. Mm-hmm. And so road trips, beaches, restaurants. We had a lot of great times.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get caught breaking any rules? Did you ever get away with something you weren't supposed to do?
Yes and yes. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. When did you leave the military? What was that process like?
Well, I left the military in 1993, March of 1993. My actual end of service date was March 14th, 1993. It was bittersweet. I left Spain and was sad to leave all of my friends and my life that I had there behind, but mm-hmm. I was also excited to be back with my family.
Yeah.
And looking forward to a new life to build in the civilian world.
What were your first few months out of the service like?
It was a bit awkward. I felt like everything I did had to be done the Marine Corps way, and it took me a while to kind of settle down. When I got a job and they would tell me to go do something, I took off running to go do it, and I did everything like I did in the Marine Corps. And they eventually told me, they said that we can't keep up with you, so you need to slow down.
Do you have any advice for others transitioning out of the military?
Well, for those transitioning out of the military, is the best time to prepare for that is when you go in, and make sure that you've selected a career that can be beneficial on the outside that you can utilize and build upon. And secondly, is knowing that, you know, that it will take time to adjust and, just be aware that, the people that you'll be dealing with and working with are not accustomed to how you've been doing things for the last several years of your life. So you may seem weird to them, but just be aware of that, and it will help you, being aware of it will help you to minimize the impact of it.
How do you think your time in the military affected you?
I think it had a major impact on me. It was, the Marine Corps was probably the best thing that I could have ever done for myself. Mm-hmm. The military, or the Marine Corps, is not actually a good thing for everyone. It can be an experience that's not great, or it can be a really great experience, and my experience was great. It was extremely positive for me. It taught me how to be confident in myself. I built confidence that's I would never had I not joined the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me the ability to work hard and push through in situations where I may not necessarily want to.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gained a great deal of self-respect. Not quite coughing.
What did you learn about yourself?
Well, like I said, I learned that I was capable of doing things I never dreamed of. I learned that I can work through the most difficult situations and be successful.
What is a phrase or a word that will never be the same now that you have served?
Semper fidelis. Semper fidelis means always faithful to God, country, and core. That was a phrase I didn't know when I went into the Marine Corps, but it's a phrase that's commonly used as we, as Marines, former and current, pass each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very important phrase to remind you of an important attribute of the Marine Corps.
What are some habits that you developed in the service that you like? What are some that you dislike?
Well, I'm pretty punctual. I developed that habit in the Marine Corps, being punctual, being somewhat organized, ensuring that my belongings, my personal belongings, are well maintained and taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Some things that I didn't like.
Yes.
I could tell you that when I was in the military or the Marine Corps, I disliked not getting sleep and rest. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. What are some things you miss about being in the service? What are some things that you are glad you've left behind?
The camaraderie. I definitely miss being around the other Marines. A lot of them are really great people. In fact, almost every single one of them were incredible guys. They were funny and fun to be around, and I learned a tremendous amount from them. I miss that. Some of the things I don't miss is not getting sleep, like I said earlier. Certainly don't miss some of those difficult things that we had to do on a regular basis.
Can you tell me about someone who has mentored you?
Well, when I got to Spain, we were had sponsors, and my sponsor's name was Glenn Knepp, and Glenn is still a good friend of mine. We talk on occasion to this day. Glenn gave me a lot of great advice on how to adapt to living in a new country, how to adapt to a pretty difficult work environment. And he mentored me through it.
How did you find your way to your current job/career?
Well, when I joined the Marine Corps, I wanted more for myself, and that continued when I got in the civilian life, and always wanted a challenge and to be and accomplish things that were respected. So I pursued a career in aviation as a commercial pilot. I went through flight school and got a degree in professional aeronautics. And September 11th occurred. It made things extremely difficult for pilots. So I decided that I would no longer pursue being a professional pilot, but decided to stay in aviation management, and that's where I am today.
Can you tell me about the best / worst person you have ever worked for or with?
I've worked with so many great people. It's hard to just say one. Scott Hammondry was an incredible guy that I worked with that was so incredibly talented. And he left a great impression on me. I also worked with a guy by the name of Bob Simpson, who retired recently, but Bob taught me a lot of things as far as being a good leader and how to deal with difficult issues.
Mm-hmm. Thinking of the jobs you've held, tell me about your most / least favorite.
My least favorite job?
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't have a job that I didn't like. Other than I worked a job for one day and I left because it was so terrible. It was shortly after I got out of Marine Corps. It was setting appointments for this company to sell people vinyl siding. And so we sat in this little room with no lights, and it was about 15 of us. And every phone call we made was monitored by a really grumpy lady that sat in another room. And anytime you got somebody on the phone that was remotely interested in what you're trying to do, she'd come running over and start bossing you around, telling you what to do. And you had to constantly make phone calls. You couldn't take a break unless it was break time. And I remember I took a break to use the restroom, and while I was gone, she was constantly peeking to make sure I didn't go anywhere other than the restroom and came right back. And she was not pleased with me that I took a restroom break. So at the next break, I snuck out the door, got in my car, and left. And I never went back.
So that's how you quit?
That's how I quit. That's the only time I ever quit a job like that.
Tell me about some of your favorite work stories.
Favorite work stories? Well, during the Super Bowl of 2005, I worked in Jacksonville at the Cecil Field Airport. And we had nearly 400, I think it was, corporate jets on the ground at the time of kickoff. And it was really fun because we got to see so many famous people coming and going to the Super Bowl. Former President Jimmy Carter, Joe Montana, Shaquille O'Neal, Jerry Jones,
mm-hmm.
Jason Bateman, and many, many, many other famous people.
Are there any lessons your work life has taught you?
Oh, many lessons. You know, primarily if there is a goal that you have, you have to be persistent to achieve it.
Are there any other lessons that it taught you?
And that's the big one. I mean, like when I came to Macon, and we had no air service at the Middle Georgia Regional Airport, or we had limited air service.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many people said that you're never going to accomplish that. You'll never get it here. It's not ever, ever going to happen.
Yeah.
In fact, people went in the newspaper and called me names and said that I would never make it happen, and which I didn't. It was a group of us that made it happen, but But we were successful. We kept on. We knew what it would take to make it work. And today, we have a successful program.
Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood and what you were like as a child?
As a child, my dad worked for the government, so we traveled, moved around several times. I grew up bouncing back and forth between Georgia and Virginia, and even lived in Colorado for a while. My childhood was had a good childhood. Played sports, went to good schools, and had lots of friends. And yeah, it was a good childhood.
Yeah. Do you have any stories from moving back and forth that you remember?
From moving? Mm-hmm. Or just stories from anywhere?
From anywhere.
Well, I live next door to a kid named Chris Collins. And Chris lived next door to his grandmother. And his grandmother had a cousin that would come and visit her from time to time who was an alcoholic. And he would love to go into this metal shed because she didn't like to see him drink. He would go in this metal shed sometimes in the morning and drink until he passed out on a couch that was in there. So Chris and I would wait till he was passed out, and we would go get these big rocks and slowly close the doors of the metal shed so it was completely enclosed. And then we would slam these big rocks against the metal shed, which would be extremely loud on the inside. And then we would hide and wait for him to come staggering out and yelling and screaming at us.
Oh, yeah. What were you like as a child?
A perfect angel.
Can you tell me about your great-grandparents and your grandparents?
Well, I can only tell you about my great-grandmother, Verner Lewis, because she was the only one that was alive that I ever met that I could remember. She was a very sweet lady, and I loved to visit her. And the thing I remember most about her is she would go out on her back porch, and squirrels would come from all over and stand all around her because she would feed them nuts every day. And she could reach down and touch these squirrels. They loved her.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a favorite memory of me.
A favorite memory of you? Boy, that's a tough question. So many favorite memories of you. I remember Halloween, and you were dressed as a pumpkin. And your sister had slammed your fingers in a door a couple days beforehand. And you had your little fingers were in a brace. And then you had this pumpkin outfit on. And I just remember how adorable and cute you were going trick-or-treating. But I had to carry your pail for you because your little fingers were broke.
Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Yeah. There's been a lot of difficult moments. One in particular I remember. A very close friend of mine when I was in high school, his name was Tony Bartlett. Mm-hmm. And Tony and I were real good friends. He used to come over and spend the night. We would hang out together. We'd go fishing together, movies together, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And near the end of my senior year, Tony started hanging out with some other people that I wasn't comfortable hanging out with. And he made some bad decisions. Tony inhaled something called Freon, and he was also doing some drugs at a party, and it killed him. And it was very difficult for me that my friend had died, and it was hard because I felt like I should have encouraged him not to hang out with the people he hung out with. But it was difficult.
Yeah. Can you tell me about one or two people you have who have been the biggest influences on your life?
Yes. I had a principal at school. His name was Mr. Bachman. And Mr. Bachman and I didn't always see eye to eye. He wasn't always pleased with my behavior. But Mr. Bachman was a great influence on my life, helping me to see the importance of doing right and the importance of a good education.
Yes. What advice would you give yourself to your teenage self?
Make good decisions. The decisions you make as a teenager are the decisions that are going to impact the rest of your life.
Yeah. Of the people you've lost in your life, who do you miss the most? What do you miss about them?
I miss my grandmother, my Granny B. I miss her tremendously. She was a fabulous cook. She had a great sense of humor. I enjoy spending time with her. And I enjoyed how she always encouraged me. She believed in me. And I miss her a lot.
Can you tell me about one of your happiest memories?
I've had a lot of happy memories. One of them doesn't necessarily mean it's the happiest, but I remember when I soloed. First time I flew an airplane by myself with no one around. That was a very happy moment. Mm-hmm. I was happy that I didn't kill myself. And happy with the accomplishment.
Yes. Is there any other that stand out to you?
Well, yes. The birth of my children were happy days. When I got married was a very happy day. Graduating boot camp was an incredibly happy day. Those are all happy days.
Can you tell me about the dumbest thing you've ever done in your life?
No, I can't tell you about that.
Well, tell me about one of them. I need to know one of them.
Okay, so I wasn't paying attention when I was driving one time. Mm-hmm. It was very cloudy, it was raining, it was dark.
Yes.
And I was taking a route to work different than one I normally take. And I actually got on the highway going the wrong direction. I did not realize it until I'd gone about, well, let's just say I went a while. And then I had to turn around and go.
Wasn't that recently?
Maybe. I had to turn around and go the other direction. And it took me an incredibly long time to get to work. And I was late.
Is there anything you want to tell me now that you've never told me before?
No.
Well, thanks for that. How would you like to be remembered?
I don't know that it's important to be remembered. But I guess remembered as a good dad, maybe. And remembered as someone who was able to help you navigate life.
Is there anything you want to ask me that you've never asked me before?
uh, I don't think so.
Nothing you want to ask me right now? I can admit.
Who is your favorite? Me or Mom?
Okay, I don't have a favorite, so I can't really answer that one. Okay, so going back to the Marine Corps, which drill instructor was one of your favorites?
One of my favorites? I don't really have a favorite. I didn't like any of those guys, honestly. But if I had to pick a favorite, I would say probably drill instructor Staff Sergeant McUffman.
Why was he one of your favorites?
I liked his style. He was a small guy in stature, but he commanded a great deal of respect.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to go crazy or nuts to get you to do what you needed him to do.
Mm-hmm. And going back to your childhood, what are some other memories that stand out that are really funny to you or something that you did?
I remember there was a little girl that picked on my little sister. They were friends, but she wasn't a good friend. She was mean. And I caught her being very mean to my sister one time. And so later on that day, I saw her playing with all of her friends. And me and my friend were playing near the same area. We were several years older than them and much bigger than them.
Mm-hmm.
So they were giving each other turns, pulling each other around in a wagon. And we ran up and my friend jumped in the wagon. And I grabbed it and started pulling him around in it. And they were chasing us and they were mad at us. And he was sticking his tongue out at him. And ran around with the wagon for a while. And then the janitor at the school where we were playing saw us and didn't realize that they were actually the mean kids and bullies. Came running out and started yelling at me and my friend, and we took off running and went home. And then a couple days later, we saw her. She had said some more nasty things to my sister. She hadn't learned her lesson. So when she went riding by our house, this was in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
my friend and I took the water hose off the water sprinkler,
mm-hmm.
and when she came by, he squirted her with the water hose, and she jumped off her bike, and then we stole her bike, and we rode it up and down the street while she was yelling and screaming at us to give her bike back.
What grade were y'all in?
Sixth grade.
Sixth grade?
Yes.
Is there anything else that you just want to say in general?
No.
Anything about the interview that you would like to also say?
No, you could just say that through my experiences, I've learned how important it is to make good decisions. Hard work will always pay off and be beneficial. And as you journey through life, you pick up these little things, experiences, that you can stack on top of each other and keep climbing higher and higher.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd like to say to my future children?
I would not even want to think about you having children right now. That's kind of a weird question. Hopefully I'll get to see them one day and get to tell them whatever it is I want to tell them in person.
Mm-hmm.
But just things any grandpa would say. Let's go get ice cream. That's what I'd like to say to them.
I know you like your ice cream.
I'd like to spoil them with ice cream and that kind of thing.
Any advice you want to give me for middle school?
When you feel like quitting and you don't want to do any more, that's when you got to push harder and do more. It will help you be successful in middle school, and it will help you be successful in life.